the light of life. Probably most of us, we're very aware of darkness that's in our world. And I was wondering about this question, and you can kind of answer it in your own mind, but people sometimes say there's a lot of darkness in the world, or it's a very dark world, and sometimes we're a bit vague about what we mean by that. I wonder, whenever you think of darkness in our world, what comes to mind, or what do you think of particularly? I'm guessing some of us maybe think immediately of the big global problems, the big large-scale problems of the world, the darkness that's in the world. We might think of war and violence, might think of what's going on at the minute in Syria and Egypt and other parts of the world. We might think of some of the kind of terrible stories that hit the headlines that are in the news, maybe stories of cruelty and abuse towards children, some awful stories that have been in the headlines in the last couple of weeks. Maybe when you think of the darkness in the world, you think immediately of sectarian hatred in our own wee country. Maybe you've been a bit depressed, like many people, by what's been going on this summer, that it bubbles out, the spite and the hatred and the anger in different ways. I wonder what you think of when you think of the darkness of the world. Maybe you don't think of those kind of global and political and national problems. Maybe you think of examples much closer to home, in the lives of people you know, broken relationships or marriages or addictions or people who are kind of entangled in self-destructive behaviour, or people tangled in debt, or maybe it's depression, or maybe it's people who are tangled up in anger and bitterness. I don't know what it is, but maybe you can think of lots of examples that come to mind close to home, of darkness that's in people's lives. And if you spend a few moments thinking about it, you can quickly feel kind of overwhelmed. The darkness is very widespread, and it goes very deep, and it can seem overwhelming. And you think, how would you begin to fight against it? How would you begin to develop a strategy to take on that darkness? You could feel like you're kind of standing in a vast dark cavern with a tiny little flickering candle, and you can only see a little bit in front of you, but how would you actually defeat all of that darkness? And so, I guess for that reason, for me, this comes as very, very, very good news, that Jesus is the light of the world. It's not up to us, after all, to save the world or heal the world or defeat the darkness. But he has done it, and he is doing it, and he will do it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So for me, there's kind of great relief in this. There's great comfort in it. Because we know, when we think about this, that there is enough goodness and love and power in him to overcome the darkest of the darkness. John says earlier in his gospel, Jesus is the true light who gives light to everyone. He is the Son of Righteousness that rises with healing in its wings. So that gives me a lot of hope. That gives me a lot of comfort and relief. I'm going to get to something else in a wee second. I'm not rehashing I am the light of the world. But there's one other reason why I'm very glad that Jesus is the light of the world. And that's the fact that I know, if I'm being honest, that there is darkness in me too. That I'm part of the dark world that needs his light. And I know that can sound like a very strong way to speak in a room full of nice people, who are all very nice and lovely. That there is darkness in us, that sounds like a very strong thing to say. But I think it's a true way to speak as well. Of course, Jesus has brought profound change in our lives. So Paul can say in one of his letters, we used to be darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We are children of light. And that is true. And yet, I don't know about you, but in my most honest moments, I know that I'm not all sweetness and light, as we say. That there is darkness in me also. Dark thoughts, dark desires that can bubble up, dark fears, areas of my behaviour that are still in shadow, that are still in twilight. I don't know if you recognise that as being true, but I think it is true. And so, whenever I think about this, my prayer is, Jesus, come and invade my darkness. I think that the second we start standing saying, there's the darkness over there, and there it is over there, and there it is over there, and we don't also point in here, we're going to be in trouble. So my prayer is, come and invade my darkness. Come and shine into the dusty corners, the shadowy corners of my life and my heart, and fill me with your light. We are the people walking in darkness who have seen a great light, and Jesus is the light. So, kind of in a way, I would be very content to stay here and to keep coming back to this and reflecting on it. You kind of can't get enough of this, to keep coming back to Jesus is the light of the world and he is our hope and the hope of the world. And just to live in the hope of that and to find rest and comfort in it. And of course, also to tell others about it and point others towards the light and say, look, there he is. He is the light of the world. Maybe like John the Baptist, to say, I'm not the light. I've only come to bear witness to the light and point other people to him. And yet, there's something that doesn't allow us to stay just there in that place of relief and comfort. And it's this, that one day Jesus was sitting on a hilltop and he was teaching his disciples, who, as we know, were a not very impressive bunch of kind of ordinary, scruffy people like you and I. I'm not saying you're scruffy, but ordinary, not very impressive bunch. And a larger crowd had gathered to listen to his teaching as well, and they were also ordinary and messy and scruffy and all the rest. And one of the first things that Jesus said to them was this. I'm going to give up on the... Is that still working again? Is it my battery power?
No.
All right. Oh, there it is. The suspense was great there. I was building it up. One of the first things he said to that ordinary bunch of disciples and the crowd was, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And you could, I can almost imagine someone arguing with him and saying, you got it wrong there, Jesus. You're the light of the world. We are part of the world that needs your light, and we are ordinary and scruffy and messy and weak and foolish. And on our best days, we live in shadow and half-light. You are the light of the world. And we're happy to go and tell people about you, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And that's what he says to Matthew, the tax collector, and James and John, the fishermen, and Peter, the hothead, and Thomas, the doubter, and to the wider crowd as well, and to the wider crowd that includes you and I. He says, you are the light of the world. And sometimes, I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking, often when I've heard us maybe talk about this passage, sometimes we talk as if what it means for us to be the light of the world is for us to go and tell people about Jesus. That makes sense to us, and it fits with what we're comfortable with. And of course, that is something we are to do. We are to tell people about Jesus. It's one of our great privileges in our life, to speak about Jesus to other people. But it's not what Jesus was talking about here. And he's very explicit and very clear about what he was talking about. This is what he goes on to say. You're the light of the world. What do you mean by that, Jesus? My words have got a bit jumbled up, but hopefully you can see most of them. Well, you can see most of them. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and hide it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So in this passage, in these words, he's not talking about our preaching of the gospel or our evangelism, our sharing of the good news, but he's speaking about our actions, about our visible life, about what we do. And there's something here that I found challenging and maybe a bit uncomfortable, and I wanted to sort of spend a bit of time with and throw out to you guys as well. Our good deeds are to be a shining light, our visible actions, the things that we do. Certainly the end result, in Jesus' words, is evangelistic. The end result is that people end up glorifying our Father in heaven. So presumably there are words that also go with the actions as well. But the focus here is not on our preaching or sharing the gospel, it's on our actions. We are to act in a way that impacts those around us, that surprises people, that makes them stop and think, that makes them wonder, that puzzles and provokes and draws them to the beauty of Jesus and the gospel. We're to act visibly among our friends and neighbours and colleagues in a way that has that kind of impact. And so the very practical question, it's a very practical challenge this morning. And the question that I've been wondering about is, what kind of deeds will shine the light of Jesus in our world? Jesus doesn't spell it out in this passage. what kind of deeds will shine the light of Jesus? What kind of actions show the beauty of Jesus and the gospel? And in a way, I just kind of want to throw that out and leave you to think about that this week. What visible actions of ours in the world will show something of the light of Jesus in our world? I've been thinking it's not just about having a vague sense of being nice or being good living or being a do-gooder. We can be very vague sometimes about those things. But what kind of actions lie at the heart of the gospel story? Lie at the heart of who Jesus is? Because those are the kind of actions that are going to show the light of Jesus in our world. And as I've started to think about it, it's going to be things like compassion for the broken and the hurting and the lonely and the poor, because you can't look at Jesus for more than a few minutes before you realize that that's at the center of everything that he is. It's going to be things like actions that show forgiveness, because that lies at the very center of the whole gospel story. So when we act to show forgiveness, something of the light of Jesus is seen. It's going to be things like acts of generosity, because every time you read the New Testament and it speaks about Jesus, it talks about how in Jesus God is giving himself for the sake of the world. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So in acts of costly generosity, we reflect and echo the light of Jesus. What can we give to those around us? And also actions that show, and this one may be a bit more difficult and a bit harder to get our head around, but actions that show the courage to challenge hypocrisy and greed and abuses of the powerful and the rich and the religious. Because again, you can't look at the life of Jesus for very long before you realise how prominent that is as well, that he speaks truth to power and gets in a lot of trouble and ends up on a cross for doing that. So if we're going to show the light of Jesus in our world, it's going to involve having the courage sometimes to challenge hypocrisy and greed and abuse and all of those things. But it's action that Jesus is calling us to here. And that's the challenge that I kind of want to leave with us all. Not just words, not just attitudes, inner attitudes, not just beliefs, but actions that show the heart of Jesus for the world. I was struck thinking about it that sometimes we define the Christian life simply in terms of what we don't do. And the Christian life is not doing this and not doing this and not doing this. And what I think what struck me forcibly this week was the world is not going to come to glorify the Father because they're amazed by the things we don't do. They're not going to go, wow, look at that, and come to worship. It is when they see the beauty of the light of Jesus in all of these positive, bold, courageous action in our world that they're going to be drawn to wonder, that they're going to puzzle, that they're going to be provoked, and that maybe they'll come to glorify our Father in heaven. It's action that we're called to. The Canadian singer-songwriter Bruce Coburn has a very slightly violent, very memorable lyric in which he says, "We must kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight." It's a very violent kind of piece of language, but it's calling us to that kind of decisive action, to be courageous, to be bold, to act in a world that has a lot of darkness in it, to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. Maybe it'll be with small, quiet actions with the people around us, maybe with big areas of brokenness in our world. While I was thinking about this week, a friend put a photograph on Facebook. She was starting a new job in Dublin, and I was struck by this just because I was thinking about these thoughts. I don't know if you can see that, but she's just started a job with an organisation called the Solus Project in the heart of Dublin, in one of the rougher areas of Dublin. Solus is the Irish word for light. And if you can see the kind of creative graffiti on the outside of their office, there's a kind of lighthouse here and people reading and playing and all the rest. It's a project that works with kids, providing education, providing fun for kids with not a lot of fun in their life, but with a Christian heartbeat to everything that they do. And there are the words, "Let your light shine," right on the wall. And I love the combination of, there's the barbed wire as a reminder of the neighbourhood that you're in and where you are. But there's a little group of ordinary Christians trying to figure out in their neighbourhood, what does it mean to let our light shine? What does it mean to act in a way that will show the light of Jesus where there's a lot of darkness. And I was challenged, I was inspired by their example. Final kind of thought. Maybe one of the things that makes us nervous, and it's worth saying, is of course our light as we live in the world is a secondary light. It's a reflected light, and that's important to say. Our confidence is not in kind of our inner light that you and I have of our own accord. I don't know very much about the night sky. I always want to be one of those people who can point and go, that's the I don't know, I can't even think of examples to tell you. The Great Bear, is that one? Is that a real one? You have to ask George Buick if you want your tour of the night sky. But one of the things that that has always fascinated me about the night sky is the fact that the star, which is often brightest in our sky on any given night, is not a star at all. It's a planet, the planet Venus, which tends to shine very bright whenever it's visible and without twinkling at all. It's bright and it's beautiful, and it's often been used to guide people home. It's been used in navigation and all the rest. It's a very striking thing that makes you stop and wonder. But it's an even more amazing thing, I think, to reflect that it has no light of its own, even though it shines that brightly. It's a reflected light. It's the light of the sun being reflected off the planet Venus. Of course, the same is true of the moon. And I always find the moon, probably Venus and the moon are the two things in the sky that most often make me kind of stand out in my garden going, wow, when you get an amazing bright moon. And you gaze and you wonder, and your eye is drawn to it, and your neighbours wonder what you're doing out in the garden, looking up. But again, it has no light of its own. It's a reflected light. Whatever light you and I have as we live in our world is not our own. It comes from him, because we're created in his image and we're being recreated in his image. It's his light reflected in our lives. Jesus is the sun. He's the primary source, the one true light of the world. And yet, this is his strategy for sending his light into the dark places. He chooses to send it through people like you and I. He chooses to use our weaker reflected light to make our neighbours stop and wonder and to guide people home. That's quite a surprising thing, but I find it kind of an inspiring thing. So I think what I've been challenged by is that maybe sometimes my faith is a little bit too private and internal. I have my personal relationship with Jesus, and he's helping me deal with my stuff, because I've got plenty of stuff in here to deal with and get on with. And the world is too big and too dark and too messy. So sometimes we fall into this attitude of we'll sit and wait for Jesus to get us out of here, and we'll sigh and tut about how dark the world is and sing songs about how Jesus is the light of the world. But this is what I'm provoked by, that Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you into the world. You are the light of the world. Don't hide under a bucket. You are the light of the world. Go wherever the darkness is and act as the children of God. I'm sending you with my light, with my life, with my love, with my authority and power. So don't be afraid. I've overcome the world, he says. But I'm sending you. You're the light of the world. Maybe we can put it this way. Act this week as if the gospel is really true. Maybe it's as simple as that. Act as if the gospel is really true, that Jesus has defeated the darkness on the cross, that his kingdom of light has broken into the world, and the gates of hell can't hold out against it. And he will come and finish what he's begun, and he will make all things new. Now, what kind of actions spring from believing that that is true? In the dark corners of our neighbourhood and of our lives and of our families and wherever else. What would you do tomorrow if that gospel was really true? How would you act? What would you do? Let me pray. Father, if we're feeling a little overwhelmed in any way this morning by the darkness that's in our world, or in our own lives, we pray that that your hope would dawn in our lives again this morning, and that you would speak the truth to us, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that those who walk with him, who follow him, will not walk in darkness. And we pray that hope would dawn in our lives. But we pray also that you would then send us out, that you would give us courage to look around us and ask, what is it that you want us to put our hands to? What is it that you want us to do? To reflect, to show a little bit of your light in our neighbourhood. And we pray for each person here, whether we're young or old, or have been a Christian a long time, or only a while, or are struggling or doing well, or whatever. We pray for each of us that you would show us the things that you want us to put our hand to, and that your Spirit would empower us and enable us to go and do those things, and that our neighbours would wonder and be surprised, and that some of them would come to glorify our Father in heaven. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.